This lesson has a very unusual title. I call it Some Fools in the Bible. Now, if I were to ask you in the very beginning, do you want to be thought of as a wise person or a foolish person? And the wise man tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if we really want to be thought of as a wise person, then we have to be concerned, what does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so, fools despise wisdom. Fools despise instruction. Their attitude is, I want to do everything my way. Now, in order to understand this word fool, I've looked in some of the dictionaries, and there's a picture of the Unger's Bible Dictionary. I don't know which one that Peter likes to use. But on page 375, it's represented by a large number of Hebrew and Greek words. The word is used in Scripture with respect to moral more than to intellectual. You know, usually when we call somebody foolish, we're just simply saying he's not very smart. But the way it's used in the Bible is really talking about the life that you're living, not your intellect. See, you can have 10 degrees from 10 different universities, and the Bible still call you foolish because of the kind of life that you're living. The fool is not so much one lacking in mental powers as it is the person that misuses those mental powers. Not one who does not reason, but one who reasons wrongly. And so in the Scripture, the fool primarily is the person who casts off the fear of God. He thinks and acts as if he could safely disregard the eternal principles of God's righteousness. Now, let me interrupt myself for just a moment. It's probably good that I'm in Belgium this week rather than being in America, because I might get myself in trouble. Just before I left to come here, the University of Tennessee, which, if you look at the map, and here's Kentucky, and right underneath Kentucky is Tennessee. The University of Tennessee announced that they were going to have 1 week that was going to be called Sex Week. And the boys and girls don't have to wear clothes to class if they don't want to. They will be permitted. They can put blankets between the buildings while you're walking out onto the campus, and they can be having sex all week. They're going to have different seminars. This one is for homosexuality. That angers me so much. That angers me so much. And see, that's the kind of fool. I mean, they're getting an education. Mom and dad are spending thousands and thousands of dollars if they can get a diploma. But look at the moral decay that they are promoting. In many passages, especially in the Proverbs, the term has its ordinary use and denotes one who is rash, senseless, or unreasonable. But so often, it comes back to dealing with the moral life that they're living. So let's look at some of the fools in the Bible. The first one that we will mention is what I call the hardened fool. Look in Proverbs chapter 10. To do evil is like a sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. Now, just like yesterday, we watched Levi play football, and today Nathan's playing football. And they practice, so they get better at it. Well, the kind of fool that the Bible is talking about is that to them, evil is like a sport. Oh, well, let me get better at being evil. And how sad that is. in chapter 17, in verse 12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Now that's a strange Bible verse. But what the wise man is saying, if I leave you alone to do your own sinful way, your drugs and your alcohol and your sex and your stealing, you're going to wind up getting killed. It'd be a whole lot smarter for you to see the big mama bear out here and go over there and try to steal one of her babies. Now, what's that mama bear going to do to you? That mama bear is going to kill you if you try to take one of her babies. But what the wise man is saying, that would be smarter to go over here and play with the baby bear than it would be for you to be playing with sin and keep doing all the things that you're doing. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 22. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with a crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. And I'm sure that you've seen at the mill and the grinding, you put the wheat or the corn and then you grind and grind and grind. And so that's the kind of language that this verse is using. A second type of fool then, we have the arrogant fool. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24. A proud and a haughty man, scoffer is his name, he acts with arrogant pride. Now there are people, and I'll show a picture in just a moment, there are people that have written books. I don't believe in God. There are people that are writing books about you need to use drugs and you need to experiment getting drunk and you need to have sex when you're very, very young. And so this verse describes that person. They think they're smart, but they're so arrogant and they act so prideful. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave him. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. In chapter 29, verse 8, scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. So we see as we go through this that there are different types of fools. Now, this one is a strange title, a teachable fool. In Proverbs chapter 9, and verse 6, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now you see, when we see some of these people that we say, well, you're really being a fool. There's some of them that have a heart that is hard, and we won't be able to reach them. There's some of them, though, that are teachable. There's some people, now, I've met many people in the world that are unhappy. And probably both of you have too. But I have never met one person that says, my goal is to be unhappy. Have you? I've never met one person. When I wake up in the morning and I look at myself in the mirror, I think, I want this to be a bad day. I want to be unhappy today. I've never met anyone like that. Everyone wants to be happy. But many people do not know how to find happiness. Look in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, doesn't that sound bad? I made the comment while I was in Africa. I said, you know, if every person could become a Christian, we would not need an army. If every person was a Christian, we would not need policemen. If every person was a Christian, we would not need locks on our door, because there would be no stealing. Now look at the difference if you take away God and you take away the Bible. This is the kind of description that you have. with all the lust and the pleasures and the hatred. And so look at the difference in the life without God and the life with God. In Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Look at that. The fool has said, "There is no God." Now, I don't know whether this man has become popular in Europe or not, is that he's called the science guy. He has TV shows. He's written books. He goes to many, many universities to lecture because he brags, "I'm so smart that I know there is no God. I know that all of the answers come from science." In the last 5 years alone, the unaffiliated have increased from just over 15% to just under 20% of all U.S. adults. I should have looked up the figures for Belgium, but I forgot to do that. Now, I'm leaving now to go to Sweden, and the people that say, "I believe in God," is a very, very small number. And so this was a book, The Rise of the Atheist America. And to me, that is so very, very sad. Their ranks now include more than 13 million self-described atheists and agnostics. That is nearly 6% of the American population, as well as nearly 33 million people who say that they have no particular religious affiliation. About 14% of the American people to say that I have no religion. I'm seeing a lot of changes in America, and I don't like all the changes that I see. Now, we're trying to fight back. We're trying to make some, now where I live, I'm happy to tell people in Kentucky where I live, this is the first year that the high school students have the opportunity to have a 1 hour Bible class every day. You go in and you take science, you take mathematics, you study English, you study Spanish or French or whatever language, you study your geography, you can also have a 1 hour class in Bible. I'm happy that this was the first year. See, we're trying to fight back on this. Is that there's a growing number of atheists, a growing number of people that say, "I have no religion." Now, if you throw away God, you throw away the Bible, then don't be surprised when there's going to be cheating on the school exams, there's going to be stealing, there's going to be drugs, there's going to be alcohol, the young girls are going to get raped. There are going to be a lot of young girls that are going to have babies before they have husbands. Don't be surprised on that if you throw away God and throw away the Bible. Now, here's another man, Richard Dawkins. He thought he was so smart. Look at me. I'm a college professor. But he is the professed unbeliever. And so there again, he travels all over the world. I know he's been in Europe also. He travels all over the world wanting you to buy his book, and then he'll autograph it for you. And then he'll tell you, now, smart people don't believe in God. Only dumb people will read the Bible and believe in God. So when we look at the atheist, the skeptic, the moral unbeliever, we have so many stories in the Bible about people like this. Look in Romans chapter 1. Here's the religious, but the idolatrous fool. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. They were not thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Now, when I go to places like Egypt, places like India, places like Thailand, if they don't believe in the Creator, they take some of the creatures, they take some of the things that God created and turn those into idols. In India, the two biggest gods they have is called the monkey god and the elephant god. In Egypt, you will see on many of the walls, they'll have these things of snakes and other birds or animals or the creeping. That's exactly what Paul is talking about right here. If you don't know the Creator, you will wind up serving the creatures, and because they became fools. But they thought they were wise. Now here are just some of the names of some of the different gods in some of the different countries around the world. Some of these go back to the Old Testament. We read some of these, you know, Baal worship, but then some of them are still very popular today. Idolatry is a major theme in the Bible. There are over 30 pagan or false gods mentioned in the Bible. But you see, it did not stop just in the Bible days. It is still very common in the world today. Idolatry is the dethroning of the one true God in our heart and replacing Him with anything or anyone else. When we look at Eastern religions, when we look at that of humanism, when we look at Catholicism, when we look at money, sports, entertainment, politics, possessions, the doctrines and the commandments of all of the different denominations, every one of these are throwing away God. They're throwing away the Bible. Let me do my thing. Let me do it my way. And so, even when we talk about some of the denominations, or even when we talk about the Catholic Church, they will look at Hinduism. They will look at Buddhism. They will look at Shintoism. They will look at Islam and say, oh, that's bad. That's bad. That's bad. But you see, they are doing the very same thing of some of the Eastern religions that they're condemning. They are throwing away God. In Proverbs chapter 7, it says, with her enticing speech, she calls him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her, just like an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. The Bible talks about temptation, and the Bible talks about some women, the way that they dress, the way that they talk, and how that there are some bad women that seduce men. And so that is what we call the immoral fool. You look then in chapter 6. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. Now, if you've turned on the television anytime in the last few months, you've seen things about sports people. I mean, you look at Tiger Woods, probably the most famous golfer in the world, and yet he cheats on his wife. You look at some of the musicians. You look at movie stars. You look at politicians. You look at high officials. I mean, the list seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger that they're being exposed. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators will not go to heaven. Idolaters will not go to heaven. Adulterers will not go to heaven. Homosexuals will not go to heaven. Look at this list. The thieves, the covetous, the drunkards, the revilers. But look at verse 11. Such were some of you. Now, how would you like to be a member of the Church of Christ in Corinth? And you meet this woman, and she said, I used to be a prostitute. You meet this man, and he says, I murdered a few people. You meet this person and says, well, I used to be a thief. You see, that's what many of the Christians in Corinth used to be. But it's past tense. He says, such were some of you, but now you have been washed. What does that mean? You've been baptized. And that washed away all of your sins. Now you're sanctified. What does sanctified mean? It means you're set apart. You've left the old life. You now have a new life. You were a sinner. Now you're a Christian. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. In Revelation chapter 21, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I use this verse a lot of times to remind people, if you lie, you're in the same verse as the murderer, and you're going to go to hell. So we need to be very careful about the kind of life that we live. In Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Then he spoke a parable of them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, Here's what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build bigger ones, greater ones. And there I will store all of my crops and all of my goods. And then I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. We must lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. It's not wrong to have a nice car. It's not wrong to have nice clothes. It's not wrong to have a nice house to live in. But we need to understand those are going to burn up someday. We need to be making a deposit in heaven. That's where our treasures are supposed to be. We sing the song sometimes, This world is not my home. We have to build our lives on an everlasting foundation. Now, what is the eternal value of the things that we are pursuing? Now, let me tell a story. Two people wanted a new house. They both chose the same blueprint. So you've got two people wanting identical houses. But look at the difference in the attitude. This family thought, if I build this big house, everybody will be envious of me. If I build this big house, then I might be on the society page. The other family is going to build the same size house. We've got plenty of extra bedrooms. We can show hospitality. If there's a widow lady that doesn't have anywhere to live, we can bring her to live with us. If we find orphans that need to be adopted, we can adopt one or two of them. You see the difference? Same material possessions, same houses, but difference in the attitude of what are they going to do with it. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the story about the 10 virgins, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They all carried their lamps, but only 5 of them carried the extra oil that they were going to need. And that's the point that he's trying to make. So in verse 13, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We don't know when he is coming, but we need to be prepared. So we need to ask that question often. Are you ready? So when we think about these fools that we've looked at, are we like any of them? Are we like the unbelieving fool, the idolatrous fool, the immoral fool, the materialistic fool, the unprepared fool? Is that, are we hardened? Are we arrogant? Are we teachable? What kind of a person are we? In Ephesians 5, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I think all of us had rather be thought of as being smart than being a fool. So I hope some of these things that we can think about throughout the day and throughout the week and throughout the rest of our life, let's be wise with the Lord.